one of the most fascinating things is when you start with the principles of a sugya and you go all the way to the Shulchan Aruch, how from those principles the din as we observe it arises is a very fascinating thing. How we come to blow 100 kailas on Rosh Hashanah. If you look in the Shas, so we find that we really have just the mention of Truah three times and in two different contexts. We have two mentioned in the context of Rosh Hashanah, one in Parshas Emor, one in Parshas Pinchas. We have Zichron Truah, Yom Truah, and in Parshas Behar we have, in connection with the Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, we also have that is mentioned. Shofar Truah, B'Chodesh Hashvi. The Torah's Koyanim derives the fact there is an extra word in the Torah where it says B'Chodesh Hashvi. All it needed to have said in connection with the Shofar Shel Yovel, we should blow the Shofar, but also L'Chodesh Hashvi. What is it? There are extra words in the Torah, and from those extra words, there's one extra word, we derive the fact that all the tekiyos of Chodesh Shvi, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, are all blended together. Meaning that on Rosh Hashanah we need three truas, and on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel we need three truas. Now we derive from another pasuk, two other psukim in the Torah, that every truah has to have a tekiah which precedes it and a tekiah which follows it. So sach hakol, after all the drashos of the Torah Shebal Peh, well, we come to the conclusion is that I need nine kailas. That's all I need to be yotze. Nine kailas. So it should take about 30 seconds to be yotze tekiah shofar. That's it. We'll get up with all nine kailas and go on or go home. Well, we even have the statement in the Gemara, which shama test kias b'tkes shoyis b'yoyim. You heard nine kias spread out over 9 hours of the day. Yotze. So where did we go from starting off with nine and we blow 100? Where did this all come from? So there are really two steps and get two steps, three steps, we'll see. There are really three steps going from 9 to 100. It's a pretty big leap. You know, we didn't go from 9 to 12, from 9 to 100. We have 91 extra koilas at Rosh Hashanah. That's pretty good. Pretty creative. The new math, somebody couldn't cheshbon, you know. There was a famous mice by Rabbi Akiva Eiger that he had a Baal Tekeya that became a maskal. So he didn't agree with, he held he was Meshubash in his dais, so he wouldn't let him be the Baal Tekeya anymore. But he had to be rabbinic about it. You know, life was not so simple. So what he did was, he removed him from Rosh Hashanah, and he appointed him to Baal Tekeya to blow at the end of Yom Kippur. So So this Baal Tekeya was rather politically well connected. So he went to the Poritz, to the German nobleman, and he complained that the rabbi, he was friends with him. The rabbi fired him because he doesn't like, you know, he doesn't like me. He doesn't like what I believe. He doesn't like me. So the nobleman called him Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and he said, is it true that the rabbi fired him because you don't like him? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, the nobleman certainly knows that the holiest day of the year is Yom Kippur. And the pinnacle of the prayers is the prayer of Ne'ilah, the prayer at the end of the day. So at the pinnacle of the prayers, we blow the shofar. And I appointed him to blow the shofar at that time, so there's no slight to him. So the nobleman called back his friend that he wanted to know what his problem is. The rabbi gave him a very honored position. So he knew he couldn't go explain to a guy, this is the rice, this is a minute, you know, it's not going to play, you know, the guy is verstehtnish, this is the keys, you know. So he says to the nobleman, listen, it's true, but on Rosh Hashanah, they blow 100 koilas, and at the end of Yom Kippur, there's only one. So that's the problem. So the nobleman looks at him and he says, I don't get you, he says. You're standing up there, you're holding the shofar. He says, who's stopping? Blow as many as you want. What's your problem? So, you know, we went all the way till 100. So how did we get to 100?
Is it true that the Kiyu blowing up here is Bechama Ma'akim Zvachir?
For what?
Is it true that the Kiyu that we blow once a year?
No, it's not Ma'akim whatsoever.
It's just a minute.
It's a minute Ba'alma.
You don't have to hear it.
No, it's a minig ba'alma. It served a useful purpose. For it comes really from the shofar, which came at the end of Matan Torah. Right, it's very interesting. The shofar of Matan Torah, right, is the main psukim of shofars from the Torah. Come from all be from Parshas Yisro. So there we have all the psukim of shofars. You call a shofar holy for chazik mode. Those koilas are a sign of the coming of the Shechina, of the Rabbeinu Shel. They announce the coming of the King. At the end of Matan Torah, there's been shoych hayovel hemayalu v'hor. It's a sign that the king is leaving. So you greet him with it, and you wish him well. The farewell is with the shofar too. And that's the sign. The inyan of the shofar at the end of Yom Kippur is the inyan of Siluk Shechina, which is really associated with the it's a minig to show Siluk Shechina, that the Kedushas Yom HaKippurim, you know, the special presence of Hashem, is ending.
Is the shofar a muksa for someone that's still fasting? Let's see.
No. I don't know if you're allowed stam to use it, but you know, to blow the tekiah, you're absolutely allowed to. You would even allowed to blow it during Ben Hashmoshes. We don't do it. Because, like, we cannot predict in Yadus what's going to happen. Now, the shofar at the end of Yom Kippur assumed mammoth proportions. It became a very, very big thing by people. And, you know, at the end of Yom Kippur, the shuls were very, very crowded. People that, you know, spent a little bit of the time during the day, they came in the morning, obviously for Yiskud, and they went home. But for the tekiahs, the place was jammed. Everybody had to hear the tekiah. That you had to hear the tekiah at the end of Yom Kippur. And once you heard the tekiah, then you could run home and eat. And the Rabbanim were very careful for that reason not to blow the tekiah before the Zman. Because then once they blow the tekiah, it's not going to help them to remonstrate that you can't eat. You blow the tekiah, Yom Kippur is over, that's it. It assumed a larger than life, you know, situation. It became larger than life, the tekiah. But that's the tekiah at the end of Yom Kippur, son of Siluk Shechina. So what happened was, there emerged in time, there were three different practices, apparently, of what was, how you blew the shofar. Some blew, apparently, shvarim truah, some blew shvarim, and some blew truah. That is a machlekes in the Rishonim exactly. So what happened is the following. So we don't know. The Torah said trua. Trua is a warbling sound. It's a cry. The trua. Which cry it is? Is it a groaning sound or a moaning sound or a cry of anguish one after the other? We're not sure which it is. So consequently, there were different practices in how to blow. So it would come out that if you wanted to cover all the possibilities that exist, so the possibilities are that a truah is a shvarim and a truah. It's both types of cry. It's a shvarim, which is a longer cry, or a truah, which is a shorter cry. So it comes out now that instead of nine, so first of all, the first set already had 12. Is it a shvarim truah? So with a tkiya shvarim truah three times was 12. Then tashat was nine more, three times. And then tarat was three times, is nine more. So we now got up to 30. So instead of nine, now we needed 30 to be yaitzi.
Could there have been a confusion? Do we remember what they blew last year?
Oh, we'll see exactly what the confusion was. It depends how you learn. You see, we'll see. There are two ways to learn. If you may learn that there actually was real machlekes lahalocha in what you're supposed to do, and that's, as you said, hard to understand. I mean, a thing that takes place every single year, you know, you can't go if Rabbi Kamen's going to get up and want to blow a new style shofar this year. It's not going to go. I mean, the king, Rana Yanai, right, thought that they thought he had it bad when they pelted him with the esrogim, you know. That's one way to learn. So how exactly, why the confusion arose, it's really hard to know. But there's a second way to look at it. And the way the Rosh quotes from the Geinim, that it's not a machlokas. All three ways are acceptable. As long as you blew a truah. And there are three definitions of truah. So you pick the one, pick your weapon. You like shvarim truahs in this town? So we blow shvarim. You like shvarims, you like truahs, you know. Whoever's the one that picks, the rabbi, the valkyrie, the president of the shul, whatever you like. But, you know, but that's the way the Geinim learned. That all three of them were acceptable. You could do any one you wanted. So the Gemara says that Iskin Rabbi Avuah b'Tzipori, that Rabbi Avuah made a takona in Tzipori, but Kesari, I mean. Tkia, Shloish Shvarim Truah, Kia. So what we concluded at the end of all of this, that you had to have three types of blood. The conclusion of the sugya was you had to blow three different types. The shratz, the shatz, the ratz. And if the iskin nabavu b'kesari. So the Goyim said pshat is that they're all acceptable. Except every shul was doing a different one. So this is not a way to run the religion, that everybody has a tkiyah, his own tkiyah shayfa. And apparently also from that it started a little bit like rivalries, you know, like we have the real one and yours is the fake one. You know, so Rabbi Vu wanted to put an end to that type of sniping. And that e-cover, the lack of cover, that in the mitzvah deraisa were all over the map. So iskin rabo b'kisar, that they should do all three types. That should be the norm. Every shul does all three types. You don't do one type. But the reality is that you yotze with any type. That's the reality. So from that, after Iskra Navavu, so I said we went to 30 because of that. Now what happened was the following. The Gemara is a very fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says that they made a takono that we blow tkiyas to miyushuv and tkiyas to miumud. So the Gemara says, why do we blow twice? So the Gemara says, la'arve v'sasotun. Come back to what la'arve v'sasotun means. And we'll come back what tkiyas to miyushuv and tkiyas to miumud mean. The Ramban and the Mochemes, which is actually the definition that we use, the tkiyas to miyushuv are the first 30 tkiyas. Since they're not associated with Shmon Esra, one is really allowed to sit. We stand, but Al Pidin, one is allowed to sit. Those are tkiyas to miyushuv. And the ones which are on Seder HaBrochus, together with the Shmon Esra, so those are considered tkiyas to me'umad, the standing ones. Now, if you factor in the Arizal, so we already got to know, so now we went to 60. We'll come back to what we have Miyushuv and Mu'umid. So Rashi says, because we show Chibuv Mitzvah by blowing so many tkiyas. Shlo Yastin, Kishi Yishmei, Zomuchavin, is a mitzvah, Mistat, Tzvorov. So I think the Pshat in Rashi is, what does it mean? It's a top of Tezayinah with Beis and Rosh Hashanah, first Rashi. So what does it mean? Chavavinus HaMitzvahs. What it means is we're a little nervous that maybe we didn't do the tkiyas right, and therefore we want to blow another set, have two sets, a backup set, in case we make a mistake, so we'll be yotzi with the other set. So that's the Chivav HaMitzvah. The reality is all we needed is the ones that came together with the Shmon Esrei. We'll come back to why that's the case, but that's all we needed. But we front-loaded another 30 at the beginning. That's an insurance policy. In case we botched up to the Kia somewhere in doing the minimum, so we don't do the minimum amount, we do double the minimum. So basically we have insurance. We have margin for error. If one made a mistake, one still is going to be yotzi. You'll have still the right three koilas.
Shouldn't the backups come after the Iker ones?
It could. Well, here it came before.
And you yotzi?
It's a whole kind. And he actually yotzi the mitzvah deraisa right away. Because, but the principal tkiyas, the ones we really want you to have, if you have a choice of one of two, you're supposed to hear the ones that go together with these brachas.
Even though when you hear the first ones,
you yotze. But
the Iker ones,
the Iker is because it means if you have a choice of either the first or the second, you're supposed to take the second. If I could only hear one, because the tkiyas with the brachas are an integral part of Rosh Hashanah. It's part of the takono.
Well, in that case, you end up hearing without the bracha over the shofar.
Let's say you only had, you can make your own bracha. Let's say you can only be in shul one of the two times. Forgetting the issues of tefillah b'tzibur. You'll have tefillah b'tzibur, but you'll have tefillah b'tzibur without tkiyas, or you'll have tefillah b'tzibur with tkiyas, and you'll hear the first 30 earlier. Which should you have? So the din is, you should hear the second ones, if you have to pick. Because the brachas are supposed to go together with the tkiyas on Rosh Hashanah. So that's the way I understand Rashi's pshat in Chivav HaMitzvah, L'Arvav HaSotin. Rav Yonos in Eivshitz has another pshat, what Irvav HaSotin is. He assumes something which is very, very unusual. I mean, it does not seem... I mean, he has a pshat in it. All of us, if we're asked, what does the shofar represent? Midas Adin or Midas Harachamim? And it's really not an easy question. We assume that it must represent Midas Harachamim. That's the point. But the actuality is, if you examine it more closely, it's not so simple. The tkiyah, l'chara, represents midas harachamim, and the tour represents midas adin. So it's some combination of the two. So we generally assume, though, that since the Medrash says that the Rabbeinu Shalom goes from kisei din to kisei rachamim through the tkiyah shofar, that shofar is associated with midas harachamim. Rabbi Yehudas and Eishitz disagrees. Rabbi Yehudas and Eishitz says, and based on, he brings one Gemara and Moed Katan, there's at least one more Gemara which bears out the same point. It says when they put somebody in Chayram, they blew the shofar. And the Gemara brings a whole mice that it was a Gavra Alim, and it was disturbing a Talmud Chacham, and it went to the Beis HaKvaros, and they blew shofar, and he died. So you see from those Gemaras, in the third parak in Moed Katan, there are two Gemaras, he quotes one, that it's associated with Midas Adin. So he says, what's the pshat? So he says, the pshat is that the shofar is being mekabel the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're mekabel the din. We submit ourselves to his din. He says, what do you do if you go to court and, you know, listen, they have an ironclad case against you. There's no way you're going to win a trial. So you plead guilty and you put yourself in the mercy of the court. So we come before the Rabbeinu Shalom and say, we're chayef. Because of that, what happens? The sultan can't be mekatrik. Because the Rabbeinu Shalom says, case closed. Case closed. There's nothing to hear from the sultan. They pleaded guilty. Goodbye. So the sultan is removed from the scene. So now it remains between ourselves and the Rabbeinu Shalom minus the sultan. And that's the venue on which we can be zoicha to midas harachamim. That's how we dispose of the sultan, of the mekatrik. That's how we're an eishitz pshat. So, in normative practice, so we have 60 koilas now. Now, the Arizal introduced something else, which is, you have to scratch really to figure out how to put it into the Gemara, into the Rishonim. But the Arizal came along and he introduced tkiyas, and all the Rishonim basically are in the Chazoras HaShatz. There were no tkiyas in the Silent Shemoneh Esrei. The Arizal introduced broadly tkiyas in the Silent Shemoneh Esrei too. So from the Arizal, got up to 90 already. But as I say, most Rishonim, it's apparent in most Rishonim, that most Rishonim did not have more than 60 koilas. More than, in other words, in the 30 at the beginning, and 30 in the Chazoras HaShatz. The Baal HaMor objects to the Ramban's pshat, and the Baal HaMor says he doesn't like these definitions of tkiyas to miyushim and tkiyas to movement. Boy, he says. He says, no, by Chazoras HaShatz, he says, the Shliach Tzibur has to stand, he says, the rest of us could sit. So what do you call that kiyas to Mu'umid? It's kiyas to Miyushuv, you could sit then. So he says, what's the pshat? The kiyas to Miyushuv are the ones when the Chazan is davening, and those come first. When did the kiyas to Mu'umid? The kiyas to Mu'umid means when they're getting up to leave shul, they're sort of on the way out the door, so they blew another 30 tekiyas at the end. That's the tekiyas to movement, according to him. That's his definition of the Baal HaMor. So from this I learned, from this exchange between the Ramban and the Baal HaMor, I learned something very important. I tried to understand at a certain point in time, Rabbi Yoshem Zatzal, his shul was a very unusual shul. We stand by all the time when we open up the Aron Kodesh by the piyuta, and by the Chazoras HaShatz parts, we sit. They did pretty much, I don't know what they did when the Aron was open, but they stood by all the Chazoras HaShatz parts. They stood. Why did they stand? So I asked Rabbi Frati once if Rabbi Yoshev held like the briskas and their definition of Chazoras HaShatz, and he said no, he didn't agree with the briska. He held that it's a part of the takon of Chazoras HaShatz that you have to stand. So I realized that this Ramban and our practice in Tkiyas Tum Yushav, Tkiyas Tum Umbed is a mocker for this. Because the Ramban's answer will be to the Balamor, no, by Chazaras HaShatz you have to stand. The whole Tzibur has to stand. And that's why we call it Tkiyas Tum Umbed. You're right, if only the Chazan had to stand, why in the world would we call it Tkiyas Tum Umbed? But we all have to stand. That's the Kon of Chazaras HaShatz. Sama Meila, that's why it's called Tkiyas Tum Umbed. So this Ramban, in his perush, what Tkiyas Tum Yushav, Tkiyas Tum Umbed is L'chor is a mocker for what Rabbi Yoshev held the halacha. So, according to us, we have only 60. So where did we go from 60 and get up to 100? You know, this is what happened. So here we find another thing. The Medrash says that Shiras Dvaira, we have the Shabbos Shira, we have the Haftarah Shiras Dvaira from Shoiftim. So there we find that Sisra came to wage war in Eretz Yisrael, and Barak lay waiting for him on Har Tavor, and he swept down with 10,000 soldiers from Har Tavor, and Menashemayim, whatever, they assisted him, he destroyed Sisra's army. Sisra runs for his life, and that's where Yoel enters the scene, and she invites him in, and she gives him to eat and to drink, and she gets him to go to sleep, and then she smashes his head to smithereens. He kills him. So after that, it says that the mother of Sisra was waiting for him to return from battle. And as the day kept going on and didn't return, she became obviously agitated, and she cried 100 cries. So, but the Mefarshim tell us is the 100 that we take is from the 100 cries of the mother of Sisra. So I always wondered, what in the world, a mother of Sisra, believe me, is not a character that we want to learn from. How did they, it says in the Novi, how did they, her companions attempt to comfort her when her son was delayed coming back from battle? Imagine, you go to a mother and you tell her, you know, don't worry about your son. You know why he didn't come back from battle? He's busy abusing women, so he really doesn't have time to come back from battle yet, you know. That's how you go to comfort a mother. This is your son. This was by her. This was fine. He won. You know, she was Yana Tzatzke, as we say in Yiddish. So the pshat is that the Midas Adin struck her. She was Nifka by the Midas Adin. And Chazal tell us the person that was Nifka by the Midas Adin cried out 100 times. So we're confronting the din, the Midas Adin on Rosh Hashanah. And because we're confronting the din, we also cry out 100 times. That's the symbolism of the 100. Is that when we face the Midas Adin, so we cry out 100 times. We cry out to the Rabbeinu Shalom. But we cry out 100 times. So that's where we went from 60 to 100. We don't even have, if you look at it, it's so strange. It's not even agreed. We do not have a clear-cut tradition how to blow the last 40 tekiyos altogether. When to blow them, where to blow them, how, you know, where, when, and what, and when, we don't know. The reason why I do what I do here is, in that I mentioned to you, that the tekiyos and the Shmon Esrei are one entity, the tekiyos with the Chazaras HaShatz. The brachos were made to go with the tekiyos. That's why, in Brisk, they consider the tekiyos, that's a chelik of tefillah. It's tefillah, and the Torah is Brisk. It's a chelik of tefillah. That's why we have, why did you ever ask yourself, why in the, after Chazaras HaShatz, so the Chazan says the Chatzik Kaddish, then we stop, and then we blow Tkiyas, and then we blow Tiskabel. Why in the world do we stop and blow Tkiyas in the middle of Kaddish? And then we say Tiskabel after we finish the Kiyas. Because the answer is because the Kiyas are a chelik of the Tefillah. So the Tiskabel goes on the Kiyas too. So we finish the Kiyas. That's why I don't want to do, some places do 10 more Kailas at the end of davening someplace. They're pushing in by the Yoyim, by Aleinu, who knows where. You can't even unnecessarily push it in by the Yoyim, because the normal minhag of Kehilas is to say the Yoyim before davening. So somebody's going to push it in after Aleinu. It's obvious that we wanted this Kabbal to go on all the Tekiyas. So why should we have 10 Tekiyas after this Kabbal? So Mamela, that's why I do 40 Tekiyas. I do 40 Tekiyas before this Kabbal for that reason. So we finished 100, and then we said Tiskabel on all the Tekiyas. I can't understand why we should push off another 10. Why? Because we have, normally we do 30 Tekiyas at a shot to be Yotzi, all the Sveikas, who cares? So now we'll do 40 Tekiyas. There's nothing holy about the number 30. Yeah? The 30 is just a practical thing, since we want to be Yotzi, all the types of Tekiyas. So we blow 30 Tekiyas, that's all. There's no special symbolism to the 30. So why not blow 40 Tekiyas? So that's what we do here in the Kehillah. We blow 40 Tekiyas. So that's how we get to 100. Now, in the halachas, so now we're talking the broad sketch of what we're going to blow. But in the halachas itself, it became very, very complicated. How do we view Shvor and Teruah? Do we view Shvor and Teruah as two separate entities, as one entity? There is a very critical point in Machloikas in this. And that is, do you blow with one neshima, with one breath, or two breaths? If it's two separate ones, then the chayra, you have to have two separate neshimas. We don't allow a person to blow tkiya, shvorm through a tkiya, and one with one breath, if he could do it. We don't allow a person to be yitzi like that. So, what is it? So this itself was debated in the Rishonim. So do we blow b'neshima achas or b'shtei neshimas? Now most Rishonim hold been told you should blow b'neshima achas. For some odd reason that the Achronim struggle with, and they don't really have a good pshat, there are more rites that in Krakow, the minhag was to blow everything but two neshimas. And like the Aruch HaShulchan and others, they are astounded. Like, why in the world blow everything with two tekiyas, with two neshimas? For what reason? Pashtis advarim, it could very, you know, why should you? And what happened? Most Rishonim hold b'neshima achas. So I think it's the Chayodim, if I recall. The Chayodim, they emerged a pshara in time. And the pshara was that the first 30 we do b'neshima achas, and the second ones we do b'shtei neshimas.
Would you be able to blow a shvarim and inhale between
burst to the shvarim? Between burst to the shvarim, not.
No,
because each coil has to be, each coil in and of itself has to be Mereshima Achas. You can't, you know, if you break it up, it's trying to already ice that coil. So you wouldn't be Yotzi. You have to have the whole thing, each coil Mereshima Achas. So what we do here in the Kehillah, what we do is we follow that split. In other words, the first 30 Tekiyas, we do Mereshima Achas. The second ones, I do B'shtei Neshimas. At the end of the davening, I do the last 40 B'neshima Achas again. In other words, a person came late, and they didn't hear, so they should be able to hear 30 Tekiyas B'neshima Achas. But we do something else also. The two more things. What it means, B'neshima Achas, is also a machlokes. There's the classical, what I would call the classical pshat, which is what the Chofetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, writes in Mishneh Berurah, means that you make a slight pause, B'neshima Achas, a slight pause, less than Kedei Neshima, so you blow the Shvarim, three times Shvarim, a pause less than a Kedei Neshima, and then you blow the Teruah, that's the way he holds you after you're supposed to blow. You're not supposed to do it in one shot, it's supposed to be a slight break in between them. It's still B'neshima Achas. There's a break, you don't draw, it's not a new breath, and the Hefzik is less than a Neshima, and you blow the Teruah, that's the Shvarim Teruah. The Chazon Ish Zatzal did not hold like that. The Chazon Ish had a very, very big chiddush. The Chazon Ish held that there should be no break whatsoever between the Shvarim and the Tekiyah, and the Teruah. It is very, very hard to blow. very, very hard to blow it. And so for the last 40, we also do, we do the Shorm Truas here in the shul. We do according to Shitas Chazon Ish. Now, Baruch Hashem, we are fortunate with the Eibush to Zilf that we have a Balkeya that's able to do it. You'll listen very carefully, you'll see how the Shvarim in the next second, you know, with this, and there's not even a split second in between that it goes straight into the true. It's very, very hard, very, very hard technically to do.
It's not one sound,
no. But there's no break in between, according to the Chazon.
The
Gleich around in the Tria. Yes. It's a Meir Dikshar to the Smacha.
Is it still a fulfillment of the minute there are 100 kolos if not all the kolos are according to the same
thing? It doesn't have to be. Listen, as I said, it's a minute ba'alma that we hear 100 kolos. The halacha says the following, that even if you mess up the last 40 kolos, you're not mechuyev to go back and fix them. So the halacha says that the last 40 you don't have to go back for. I don't know any kehilas that do that. The din is in the first 60 or yotze everything you have to do. The last 40, if you make a mistake, you go weiter. That's what the Chofetz Chaim writes. Probably we don't do it because we're a little bit, you know, neurotic. We're afraid that maybe with the first 60 we made some mistakes and we weren't yotze. So we'll have another 40 to try to do the right way. So hopefully between all of that we got 9 tekiyos the right way. So then we do another thing. Then there's also, and these in Yonah of Mesira, and they're very, as I said, there are things that are hard to capture in words. Words have a limitation. The Chazon Ish, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, writes in the Igros Chazon Ish that we call Torah Shabbal Peh, because we can never capture it fully b'chzav. You see, as much as we write and we write and we write, we wrote a Gemara, we have 20 Pshatim in the Rishayim, and what's the Gemara? Tosfos wrote, we have 20 Pshatim, what's Tosfos? We have Rabbi Kiva Eiger, we have an Achronim, 20 Pshatim, or each Achronment. We can't. He says, only Baal Peh could you express it fully and precisely. B'ksav, it's an impossibility. It's impossible. So this is the problem. We're talking about koilis, but we don't have what description do we have other than words? Words fail to explain what a koilis. You know, words are ambiguous. So we have the Maisa and Amasir, we have a Machlaikis, what most of the world was and what Teres Brisk did. Most of the world, a Shvarm, they're not Makbid, that a Shvarm has to have any special sound. It's not different than a Tekiah, it's shorter than a Tekiah, and longer than a Truah, that's a Shvarm. In Brisk they held, and I presume there's a Smach and some Rishayim for it, from what I know, that it's a warbling sound. It doesn't go, it's not a straight sound. That's the way they blow, the Shvarms, according to Brisk. So we do that also by the last 40. So Baruch Hashem, the Baltkeya is also able to do that also. So as I said, there are a lot of, and this, we don't even know what's a true. We have a huge Machlekes Rishonim in 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch, what's a true? Does true mean 3 sounds? Or does true mean 9 sounds? 3 times 3. So there's a huge Machlekes Rishonim, both days are brought in the Shulchan Aruch. So we're machmer to do the 9 because there's no upper limit to what you can do in the Shvarm. You could do, nobody knows about Keya how many truas he blew. They blow so fast, you make a cheshbon. Rav Moshe Zatzal said that the tkiya of Tarat and Tashat is 2 seconds. So that means the 9 truas are in 2 seconds. You understand how fast that you're hearing 4.5 sounds a second, how fast they're going by. And the Balkeya here probably does 16 to 18 in that time. Just, he lets loose, it just goes. But he does 16 to 18 in the 2 seconds. So it's hard really to know even how many we're hearing. there's no upper limit. But it also, the halacha also states, it's interesting that by the shvarim also, the Ramah writes that you could blow 4 or 5 shvarims too. It's easier to blow 3 so people, nobody bothers to blow. I was once present as a child, whatever, that it was, you know, that somebody blew 4. You know, somebody was chapping him, whatever, but they weren't right.
Within the same time span, yeah, blew 3.
Yeah, you don't have to. It doesn't have to. It could take longer. Long as each coil is not the size of a tekiah, it doesn't make a difference how long you spend blowing the shvarim. It's dependent on each little coil, not the aggregate. So, the Aruch HaShulchan wants to write that this Shaila of the Rishonim, if to blow 3 or 9 for the truas, the way he learns, he says it's a machlokes in the Rishalmi itself. Which way to blow? As Ishtit in Aruch HaShulchan. That it's a machlokes in the Rishalmi. So, now each, kol Eda ve'Eda is supposed to blow according to its Maseiros. That's all we have. We can't, you know, come and claim that we have any greater insight than the Maseiros, because I said words fail to capture fully that which we're out to do. The essence of the tekiyas, will end here. The essence of the tekiyas, right, is the famous Medrash Rabbah, Vayikra Rabbah. The Rosh Hashanah is Yom Adin. Right? That's the reason on Rosh Hashanah we don't have vidui in the tefillas. Because vidui, when there's midas adin, is a very dangerous thing. As I mentioned other times. If you mizvada to all your chatom and neighbors that comes with midas adin, we're not in good shape. We have to. The video is at a time when the midas harachem are mishaylet. So the Medrash Rabbah says that the neighbors that sits al kisei din, and we come and with the tekiyah shofar, the neighbors that says that the neighbors that calls Allah Elokim b'sruah Hashem b'kol shofar Elokim. Is midas adin and yudke vovke is midas harachem. It's all Elokim Yisroel. The Eibishter starts on kisei din, but through the tekiyas we bring forth the Eibishter's poil to bring midas harachem. That's Hashem b'kol shofar is yudke vovke b'zeicha. May the Rebbeinu Shalom grant. I was looking at the Ramchal and Derech Hashem today, it's a very obvious point. In everything that we wish to accomplish in Avodas Hashem, first and foremost has to be the Kiyum HaMitzvah. All the Inyonim, all the Hoich Inyonim, the highfalutin ideas, if they come without Kiyum HaMitzvah, Segolash Vet, it's nothing. You know, the Ramchal himself makes this point in the Mesilas Yesharim. He says, you shecht an animal 50% of the Konon Deveishet. So the animal's an avela, and you eat it, it's tamtam alev, and it's a chet, you're a lav. You shecht it 50.01, it's a kosher shechita. The koyach that for fulfilling the mitzvah, that we did the mitzvah, that the Rabbeinu Shloim told us to do, is an avela produces over here instead of an avela, it's something that's betaira. So the Ramchal writes when he talks about Derech Hashem, all the inyonim that are involved in Tekiyah Shofar, but his masna, as he should, that's dependent on being mekayim the halachos kedin. If we're mekayim the din, then we can be poil all the inyonim that are connected with the shofar. May the Rabbeinu Shalom grant that we be zoicha b'yom adin to be mekayim the mitzvahs, to be mekayim the mitzvah shofar karoy, and to be ma'or the rhythm with the midas harachman. How you doing, Bill?
Good question.